Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine. And formerly on a radio station, I was on WYSL 1040 for 19 years. And those that tuned in yesterday realized that I am no longer on the station. And for those of you that perhaps just tune in on Sundays for the wine show or just missed yesterday's shows, perhaps you discovered when you tuned in at 9 that I'm no longer on the air. I posted more details about it on Facebook. You can read about it there. And I truly appreciate all the comments and reactions that people posted to the my announcement, which came out Friday afternoon. The decision to effectively pull my shows off the station was just came through on Thursday, just a couple days ago. This all happened fairly quickly because a little over a week ago, I noticed that the WYSL's Facebook page had what I thought were some pretty disturbing posts. Generally, memes and links to other information, other sources, and I found those disturbing. And so I went to the station and said, I don't want to be associated with these in the long run. They did not want to rein in what they were doing on Facebook. I found it inflammatory, divisive, and just unprofessional. And was told that it was not really, it's not relevant for the on-air programming of WYSL, and you know, they weren't interested in changing what they were doing on Facebook, which, you know, whether they like it or not, you know, is the one key public image of the station. The station has streamed online for many years, and the Facebook page is part of their strategy for what they want to promote and how they want people to see the station. So I gave them 8 weeks' notice, said I would leave by the end of July, but be willing to leave sooner if need be. And if they didn't change and moderate what they were posting on Facebook, and I offered to leave immediately if that was necessary, and they really didn't want to make any changes. And they took me up on that offer on Thursday, and I'm no longer on the station. And frankly relieved, because I don't know where those posts are going to go. I don't see anything positive coming out of them, and the direction that they're taking, I found far too disturbing for me. It's you know, kind of the run-of-the-mill conspiracy theories, stuff like that, that I think are, to use the words of some people, contributing to the poisonous discourse these days. And I'm not going to be part of that. So after 19 years, it took only basically less than a week for me to leave the station. And I look forward to podcasting. I may appear on another station at some point, but I'm looking forward to doing podcasting. So for now, you'll find new audio on my website each week, each weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, and so we'll be setting up the podcasting this week. I thought I had at least 4, maybe 8 weeks to really prepare to leave the station and get my website up to snuff with podcasting and those options, but this happened much faster than I expected, basically less than 2 days before yesterday's broadcast. And so we'll work through this. And again, I feel relieved that I'm no longer associated with the content that they choose to post on Facebook. And you know, there's lots of problems with Facebook. Certainly there's lots of problems with social media. There's lots of problems in society, you know, this country and around the world. But you got to own what you post under your name, and I'm not going to be part of what they're posting. So, as always, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. Love to hear your comments, your questions. You want more details, you'll find those on my Facebook post. And it's, again, I'm not retiring. I'm not leaving my career. I am just changing the platform where you can find me. And looking forward to continuing to promote the region, to show just how excited I am about the future of the Finger Lakes and New York State as a wine region. There are going to be more and more stories to tell as we move forward. And whether it's podcasting or another station, these stories will be available. And you can go back and listen to previous broadcasts. If you haven't used my website before to get audio, you can go back and listen to a previous broadcast here. We'll be adding more from basically the last 26 years over time. I started broadcasting 26 years ago. I talked a little bit about this yesterday on the gardening show, because I started with a gardening show 26 years ago, added the food show 24 years ago, added the wine show basically 22 years ago in 1998. And originally this, well, you might wonder why I chose to do the wine show on a Sunday. It had nothing to do with altar wine or me trying to avoid going to church. It was really when time was available on the station at the time, and the fact that I was already doing 3 hours on Saturday with gardening, food, and basically a travel show, just now discover the Finger Lakes on Saturdays. And I really didn't want to add a fourth hour. That just seemed like too much for me, too much for listeners. And so I looked at Sundays. And one of the reasons I wanted to do a wine show was the key reason, really, was the sponsorship of Finger Lakes Wineries on my food show. That it was just extraordinary right from the beginning. It was Dr. Frank. It was, and at that point it was Willie Frank, Dr. Frank's son, who was running the winery and was a tremendous mentor to me as I started the show about food. It was Glenora and Gene Pierce, who continued to be a sponsor a couple of decades later. It was Heron Hill, John and Joe Engel from Heron Hill, Scott and Ruth Osborne from Fox Run, and the Martini family from Anthony Road, Will Lean from Eagle Crest Vineyards, Kim and Vinny Alaperti from Billsboro Winery. There are lots of winery sponsors I've had over the years, many of them for every week for a couple of decades. And at the time when I started the wine show on Sundays, I didn't want to do a two-hour show on wine. It was 22 years ago when I started the wine show. There was a lot to talk about in the region, but it's nothing like it was today. And I was looking to add some variety, I guess, instead of doing 2 hours of wine. But I also didn't want to do just a one-hour show. That seemed like too small an island, in a sense, on a Sunday morning. So I had an antique show to combine with the wine show, sort of antiques and history, which there's plenty of history in the wine business in the Finger Lakes. But this would be about antiques in general. And I recruited Ed Cornwall, who has passed away quite a few years ago now, as my co-host. And many people probably remember him and his voice and really just his manner of talking to people and explaining things that I'd heard him on other radio stations as a guest periodically, and got in touch with him, asked him if he'd do an antique show with me, and I figured we'd have to meet and talk, and it would took a little while to figure this out, and he actually just said yes my first time talking to him, that he would do that. So that kind of guy. So for quite a few years, 5 years or so, I did wine and antiques on Sunday mornings. And then unfortunately he passed away at only 61 years old of a heart attack. Great loss for people who love history, and I still have fond memories of working with him. So I had the antique show that continued for a little while, a few months, and then decided to cover the Ontario wine industry and Toronto food scene as the Fast Ferry started here in our area. Really not so Fast Ferry, but the ferry that went from Toronto and Rochester and back. And so the 2 hours on Sunday became basically Savor Toronto, including the Ontario wine region and the grapevine. And then after the ferry stopped running, I needed to stay here in this area more, not travel to Toronto and Ontario as much as I needed to, as much as I wanted to, I decided to make it 2 hours of wine. And so that's just a quick background on how this show came to be, a couple of hours of wine on Sunday mornings. For now, with the podcasts, the shows this morning are not going to be 2 hours long. Yesterday's shows were not a full hour, but it'll probably vary quite a bit week to week, how much time. And of course, with the fact that they are available as audio online on my website anytime, you can listen anytime to new content and the older content. So maybe something people are exploring for the first time. And fortunately, a good friend of mine reimagined my website. Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate did a phenomenal job. And this was long before the decision to leave the station. But I have to say, I was worried about the upcoming election season and how contentious the election is likely to be and the political climate around it. And I was pretty concerned that I would not be able to stay on WYSL through the fall. I didn't think I'd be leaving in early June, but I really wondered about being able to stay through, you know, September, October. It was going to be a challenge, just because the politics of this election in particular. I didn't want to really be a part of that. And so I ended up leaving now much earlier than expected. And fortunately, the new website is up and running. Still a lot of work that we'll be doing on it. And I'd love to have your suggestions, comments. My old website was truly vintage. It worked very well. It was clearly designed very well by a very good friend of mine, because it lasted for decades. It was around a long time. I'm excited about the new website and the fact that I can work on it more easily than the old one. So I can edit it. I can add new content and things like that myself. You'll be seeing a lot more photos and things coming as I figure out how to do that more easily. Just being used to it. It's actually pretty easy to do. It's just a matter of getting used to doing it. So SaverLife.com will remain the place. Even if I do find a new station, it'll be remain the place to find my content. And again, you can email me anytime. And I have to say, you know, this 26 years that I've been on the radio, I've always purchased the time from the station. It started out, I was buying time from Hot Talk 1280 in downtown Rochester, and then switched to WYSL 1040. And they, was grateful to be on a local, locally owned independent radio station, which Hot Talk 1280 was not. And not much radio is locally owned. It's mostly corporate. And the staff and owner of WYSL have been great to work with over these 19 years. Very professional, very helpful, far more helpful than corporate radio was to my shows. They're more than willing to accept my money, but we're not the most helpful people in the world when it came to my shows and to the equipment that I was using, because I was, from very early on, doing remote broadcasts and had to continue to do those for most of these 26 years. I actually originally started doing remote broadcasts at the Rochester Public Market, and I've got to look up and see when I first went to broadcast at the public market, but it was a long time ago, probably about 22 years ago, somewhere in that range. And at that time, there was no cell phone connection to broadcast, and so I had a unit called a hotline that allowed me to broadcast over a standard phone line. And the challenge of that was to get the phone line itself out to where I was ever broadcasting from, at a business, or in the case of the public market, I was out where Heron Hill was doing their wine tastings, which they did for decades at the Rochester Public Market on Saturday mornings. And but there's also 40,000 people at the Rochester Public Market, so can't exactly run a phone line over the cobblestones out to the shed where Heron Hill was offering the tastings. And so one, with the approval of the market, one afternoon when the market was closed, I ran a phone line across the other communications lines and whatever they had going from the market office to the shed's roof, the top of the roof. So this was kind of exciting. It meant that I had to get up on the roof of the shed and feed the phone line down through the hole in the top of the shed that these other wires went through, which were not power. I don't think I got to go back to the market and revisit what I did, but I wasn't putting myself in danger with the power lines that were going over there. Yeah, but it was kind of fun. So the phone line, I had to leave it there because I wasn't going to do this each week when I broadcasted. And so I would unplug it inside when I wasn't broadcasting. And then I had to coil it up and kind of put it up next to the ceiling of a shed, and then use a pole to unhook it, bring it down, connect into my unit, and connect up in the office, and I could broadcast my Saturday radio shows in the Rochester Public Market. I did that for a long time and have fond memories, and then also have been back to the market to broadcast with cell service now available. It's much, much easier. And actually, the Rochester Public Market used to broadcast radio shows about commodity prices, I guess, in the 1930s from that second floor of the market office. So I brought radio back to the Rochester Public Market. So it's kind of fun to look back on those broadcasts and how things have changed over these years. The wine business in New York State has changed immensely in the 2 decades that I've done this radio show, and it's a incredible time for the region, and the change in my platform is not the big news of the weekend. It's the fact that Phase 3 reopening has begun, and now many winery tasting rooms, not all, but many, are open for tastings once again. Some just with reservations. Looks like Anthony Road is just taking appointments right now. And then you should check hours and days of the week, because those still are, you know, places are not generally just back to normal hours. But restaurants are also reopening. They were able to open about a week ago with outdoor dining with no fixed roof, and now can have people indoors. But the with like 50% occupancy, which is not much. So we've got to get through this period quickly, and the best way to do that is to be careful, to wear masks, to socially distance. We've got to keep the infection rate low and keep it going lower so that we can reopen faster. That's the key. And we don't want to be going backwards like many other states are with transmission rates that are going up, some rather dramatically. We need to keep New York State where it is, and you can watch Governor Cuomo's 11:30 press conference. He's been doing that for 106 days through this crisis, and I think very helpful to see what the state is doing, what the testing levels are, what the really some great information, and it should give you confidence that we can get through this. At least here in New York State, it gives me less confidence that other states are going to be able to weather what is probably not even considered a second wave. It's just the first wave that never went away, and their transmission rates did not go low enough when they reopened, and those transmission rates have been going up again rather dramatically. So we've got to stay on this course and continue with our reopening and low transmission rates so that we don't go backwards. So wear a mask. Encourage family and friends who don't want to wear a mask. It makes all the difference. That's what the science says. So we will we'll be back. I'll be back on Saturday with new shows for gardening, restaurants, and food. Discover the Finger Lakes, and you'll find those here on my website. Have a great day, and let me know where you go in terms of eating and tasting, what you discover. Send me a note, Michael@saferlife.com. Have a great day.